Right now, I believe it is 200 down the lines is for any new facilities that are built. 200 down the lines, 6-foot fence is what they suggest. Right. And then center field, I think, is 210. At our place, we're 200 down the lines and 225 to center. So so we're one of the bigger fields out there. And there are some that, you know, get grandfathered in when those changes get made and their fences may be 190 or 185 even, and you know, or straight at 200 in center. And you know, some of our schools don't have their own facilities, so that's part of the part of the issue that we see at times as well. But
I was gonna say, if you get some of those short ones, they should at least, okay, if you don't have room to move it back, make it taller then.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but at Pace Setter, you know, they set them up because they use 4-foot fences when we're there, and except for their main field, which is, I think it's 210 all the way around, if I'm not mistaken. So that's just where people get a little grouchy at times. But for us, we're used to it. So I love it that way.
Yeah. So when you talked about another possible playoff possibility that some coaches like would be 1-2 hosting a 4-team.
Yeah, you'd
and
have.
And then what would happen?
And then
after
the
that?
Two winners of each of those two would then play a best of 3 series. So they'd play a doubleheader one day, and then if they split it, they would play another game the next day.
Okay.
So that's how you would dictate who the champion was.
And is that because they want to? Because it's spread a little bit? And they,
my personal opinion is because it's a bunch of people who want to have one stud pitcher and roll with it that way, because it makes it a little bit easier that capacity as well.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a similar format to what we do when we get to opening round and World Series, but, you know, there's pros and cons. You know, I'm of the opinion you need a full team and not just one ace arm, but other people see that a little differently too. So
yeah, well, I just think, you know, over the years of used to going down to Pace Setter every year, it was just an awesome day, you know, watching everybody blow in and out of there, and the whole conference is there, and it's exciting, and you can get on a roll, or, you know, and I just, and plus you have 4 fields, and
I think it's a great atmosphere when we're all down there playing.
Yeah.
I'm also old hat in this league by now, so.
Right, and things do change as we're seeing everything is changes.
Yep.
I understand. I just didn't know the rationale, because I know baseball does something similar to that or not. No, they only have 16.
Yeah,
right?
I honestly,
no,
they've changed it.
Eight.
I think they're
talking,
up at,
are they back to 8 now?
Yeah, I think they're back to 8 now, but I'm not sure how they set it up entirely.
Right.
Baseball's a whole other beast because of their pitching scenarios and the lengths.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I was there yesterday from, you know, a 1 o'clock start, so I was there at noonish to get the lay of the land and get all set up, and, you know, got home at 7:30-ish.
Yeah. Yeah.
We were long home by then. Should have come to the softball games.
your Divine's one screwed me up. So
I know.
But the one good thing is I was in JK's office and he did have the TV up, so I had the Masters.
Got to see
so
that.
I could pay a little bit of attention to that. But you know, you go back to that baseball thing though too. I think, you know, they are at 8, but you know, a weekend series works well for baseball because you don't have that same arm playing all weekend. And you have to. It takes in account the team aspect of it.
Absolutely.
Where for you, it's a lot different than softball. I mean,
yeah.
You can ride that.
I mean, it is. If we play somebody on back-to-back days, we're probably going to see the same two pitchers start the same two games on day one and day two. That's just, I mean, you can look at what we've done all season. Our same two starting pitchers have started every game for us this year. And barring health and injury, that's probably not going to change. Even with a ton of games the next 2 weeks.
That is crazy.
A tough spring.
It is.
True.
Yeah, it's been, there's, of all the days that we've adjusted and moved, there's only one day that I think we actually could have played that we probably jumped the gun a little bit. That was that first conference weekend. That Sunday we could have played because the rain stayed away till 6, 7 o'clock.
Right.
Wind chill was 34, 35. So, yeah, we could have played. We just made a decision. A little bit probably earlier than we should have, but it was the first conference weekend, so we made the choice, and I don't regret it, but
no,
that's the only
I think
day that we probably could have played. That
coming
we
out of the gate, north, you don't want to play in that right. kind of stuff anyway after you've already had your south,
yeah.
your trip.
Well, you don't want anybody to get hurt no. at that point when you don't have to.
Right.
And it just turned horrible after that. So,
yeah.
Cold or rain or wind chills, whatever it may have been. So,
well,
so
that just you makes know, life Defiance, fun. We wait until forever to play it till they're done yep. at the high school, and then it ends up
right.
raining like
and
crazy
it
anyway.
Never stopped raining. So,
no.
You know, and again, could we have stayed and played that night? Sure, probably. It would have been the same annoyance as what we had going on, but we already played through it one game. No reason to try and risk injury and for us, for them.
No, you know, it would have taken forever, too, because like every other pitch, you know, you're
changing
the ball.
And right.
Just, so we get one with?
Yeah, one with Defiance tomorrow. Yep, just the single game. So hopefully go beat them again and get ourselves ready for Thursday.
Well, and that was nice, too. At least it was a team that wasn't one of the further away teams
yeah,
to say, okay, let's.
Yeah, if we're 2-3 hours away, we're probably sticking it out and trying to play.
Yeah.
But being an hour down the road, it wasn't worth it at that
time.
Do
you have to have every game has to get played?
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah, unless, you know, now let's say we get nothing but rain for the next yeah. 2 weeks, then the conference
right.
is going to have to make a choice, make a decision. But realistically, yeah, I mean, we're supposed to. And I can't remember a time that we weren't able to get every game in. For us, I know for sure. But even within the conference, I don't remember anybody else that wasn't able, aside from the COVID year of 21. I don't think there was ever a time where everybody wasn't able to get their games in it, but we've had to be creative a couple of
yeah.
times. So,
well, and again, looking ahead, I mean, with, you know, you've got Uno that was, you know, you had to redo that, so you're
yep.
you're going down there to play them. You know, so where are you at with teams, you know, Aquinas, where are we looking at as far as Indiana Tech, the teams above us?
Yeah, so we got them all coming up real quick this week. We've got, you know, the top three right now are Madonna, Indiana Tech, and Uno. And
okay.
Madonna's the top dog, clearly, and then Uno and Indiana Tech are very comparable right now. We go Uno Friday, Indiana Tech Saturday, and Madonna on Monday. So that's back to back to back with all three of them. And, oh, yeah, here's Easter on Sunday. Have a good day off, you
yeah.
know. But yeah, it puts it right in front of us, you know, and we control ourselves. And like we were talking when I came in here tonight, I haven't looked at the standings because
yeah.
I really don't care. I care about how many wins we need to get to. That's what I'm focused on, and I figure 10 is a minimum that we need to get to. If we can get to 12, I'm confident we'll be in the tournament.
Yeah. Well, especially when you're looking, when you know, you got teams that got 5 games in hand. It
yeah.
really doesn't.
Yeah, it's just,
you know,
it's hard to see where everybody
yeah.
is, and then you got to look at who's played who, and you can start playing that game, and starting next week is when I'll probably start
yeah.
tracking all of that stuff. But for right now, with this week ahead, we've got 7 games, and we're trying to just pile up some wins one day at a time. Get one tomorrow, go into Thursday, look for 2 Thursday, go into Friday, look for 2 on Friday, you know, just keep rolling and see what we can do.
How is Madonna keeping things going? I mean,
they're mashing the ball. That's where they're at this year. Their pitching is solid, but they're hitting the beep out of the ball. You know, that's really where,
because they had
have.
Pitching a few years ago.
Yeah,
that
they finally lost that pitcher that's been a pain in our side for 5 years.
Yes.
And she took them to the World Series last year.
Yeah.
I think they finished 5th somewhere in there. And you know, her freshman year, she was underutilized as a freshman, very much so.
Yeah.
And she really didn't start pitching until the tournament time. And for whatever reason, he didn't really use her much. And then she got hot when she got thrown into a game, and he rode her to the World Series that year.
Yeah.
And made a very poor decision in the game they got eliminated in by not starting her. But that's another story for another day. So, but yeah, she.
But they have been, I mean, the top of the whack for.
Yeah. Yeah, they have. You know, they've kind of taken over that Davenport role when they were back in the league with us and going to the World Series. And, you know, are they a World Series team this year? I'm not sure that their pitching is where that is going to need to be, but they're still very, very good. And their offense is probably as good of an offense as they've had in the last several years there right now.
Yeah, and I see they're, you know, 14 in the league, and they're 14-0 in the
mm-hmm.
league.
Absolutely.
31-6 overall. So yeah, they're not that. Yeah, then Indiana Tech 12-4, Uno at 11-5, and Concordia and Dearborn right there.
Yep. 2 days
well,
we'd
so.
Like to have back.
Yes.
So. All the fun.
Yes, all the fun.
Yep, definitely.
Got our other guest here. It's going to be a full house in here.
Yeah.
Coach, so we have two bids that come out, right?
Correct.
All right, so when we those two bids, just to refresh, you know, what is the, you know, what happens?
So we have regionals, yep.
Right?
So we have the regular season champion will get an automatic
right.
bid, and then the tournament champion will right. get an automatic bid.
And if it's the same,
if it's the same team, it's the tournament runner up.
And then
yep.
you're sent to regionals, right?
Yeah. So
and
then there's ten opening round sites around the country.
Okay.
There are 48 teams that get in. So
gotcha.
You have eight sites that have five teams, and then you have the 1 and 2 overall seed, wherever they're located, if they're hosting or if they're on the road, they have the 4-team sites.
I gotcha.
So they get the advantage of having only to knock 3 teams out to move on to the World Series.
So 10 then end mm-hmm. up going to the
so
final
So 10 at the World
site,
Series.
Which is
this year it's in Columbus, Georgia again.
It's in Georgia
mm-hmm.
again, okay.
Yep. Yep. So,
do we have any sites in our conference?
They haven't been announced yet.
Yeah,
the announcement doesn't come out till May 1st. I am aware of one school that's going to put a bid in, and depending on who else puts bids in, they could see a site here. It's Madonna. You know, there's
yeah.
no secrets probably about that. They're,
right.
they're the one in the mix right now. I don't envision anyone out of our league getting one of the at-larges at this point in time,
because
we have more at-larges now than we've had. Like the year that last time we went in 19, there were only really 3 or 4 at-larges to
right.
be up for, based on the numbers and the amounts of automatics. Now with 48, you have an increased number of at-large bids, which is great, and does allow for that opportunity. But just with where people are this year, where we are 2 weeks out at this point, I don't envision anybody getting enough footing to, even if they ran the table the rest
right.
of the way, to be in that mix right now with at large out of our, you know, third team or something like
does
that.
Does it help Madonna with the turf just because of Northern and weather?
I don't know. I mean, half our league plays on turf now, so it's really not much of a – I mean, we all play on it so often.
I just
now.
Wonder as far as, okay, we got a weekend to do it in. We don't want rain. You play
perhaps,
a little bit more
you know,
in that.
When they start looking at bids, it really comes down to historically, you know, if your top 10 teams in the country all put bids in, chances are they're all going to get – to host
right.
Just because that's the right
yeah.
thing to do. The way that doesn't happen, like right now we have the 1 and 2 teams in the country are both in the Pacific Northwest. Well, getting teams out
yeah.
there is not always easy because then you're talking more flights.
Right.
So that could be where you see a team like Madonna who's sitting, I think they were 11 in the last poll, and we have a new one coming out tomorrow or Wednesday. But when you look at that, you could see Detroit, not a bad airport to get in and out of. Lots
right.
of flights in, lots of flights out, with obviously Delta being a hub.
Yeah.
So that does enhance their possibility, assuming they put their bid in, which last I heard they were planning on. They still have some facility things that they have to take care of. Like they don't have lights, but they've talked about bringing in portable lights. So there's an A, B, and C certification of fields, and that comes into play. So it's really hard to say right now. I can make educated guesses,
right.
but until I get the inside information, which I can get soon enough, but until I actually have it, I can't make too educated of a guess on that.
Coach,
right.
you know, when you mentioned 19, that's been a long time for me. I've been around since 19, so my question is, has there been a movement within the WAC to come together as a conference to set up bids for at least tournaments, not only softball, but for other regionals?
Not that I've been a part of conversations with. I don't know if...
It just seems pretty logical.
Yeah, it would make sense, you know, because it is... it was funny, I was talking with a coach today and asked if they had put a bid in. They're a top 10 team right now. And he's like, well, I think they were talking about it, but I don't think my administration and my support staff really wants to work that hard. So, and I said, well, that's kind of funny because economically it's significantly better to put a bid in because
yes,
then you don't
yes.
have to travel.
Right.
You know, I mean, you could end up if we get in, we could end up on a plane going to Oregon, you know,
yeah.
and how's that going to go, you know, with that nice financial commitment versus,
exactly.
you know, if you're one of those teams that's in that upper echelon, why not put
yeah.
the bid in and A, keep your players at home. Let your parents travel easy versus having to travel far as well and take care of it that way. So,
but, you know, when you do it as a conference, then you're getting a conference commitment, too, for that type of help. I don't know. I know, you know, again, I'm on the outside looking in now, you know, like the kid looking inside the door. And but, you know, I thought it would be a way of at least planning within your conference that you're at least going to take care of.
It would make sense. And it's it realistically, for a conference like us, it makes some sense. Certainly from the financial aspect in our conference, the logistic aspect of it is probably a little bit less likely than a conference that's kind of mid-central in the, you
like
know.
Like the Great Plains. And
yeah,
those
well, and even like the AMC, the Heart, you know, some of those over in the Missouri-Ohio or Missouri-Oklahoma, that realm right there, kind of in the middle, because you can get the teams from the Dakotas to get there fairly easy. And when you start looking at where teams go in the opening rounds, the geography does play into it. It's not straight into it, you know, and that's for us, you know, if we can look at, like, the year that we went, educated guesses gave me three places where we were going to go, and we went to one of the three, and that's based on who can we get to within that magic 750 miles, which is kind of the flight threshold the NAIA uses.
All right, well, a lot of knowledge being passed on.
I know a little bit about a lot of stuff.
There you go. But we got some more to talk about. My hometown. We can talk a little Redskins, a little Red Wolves.
Well, I noticed the last name. Is that the quarterback, too? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah. See, we did a bunch of Clinton games this year. So.
That is.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a time out. We're going to come back and talk a little bit more Siena Heights softball with the Fair Sisters when we get back right here at 965 The Cave, 965thecave.com.
Bachelor's degree program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA, and no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.sienaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at sienaheights.edu. At Siena Heights University, we make transferring easy and ensure you're on your best path forward. Study online with our nationally ranked program, or commute from home and get the traditional college experience by taking courses on our Adrian campus. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Visit sienaheights.edu and find out what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now, because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at sienaheights.edu or visit sienaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
Music.
Welcome back inside the Cave Studio, Saint Sports Weekly. Brought to you by Siena Heights University. It is a softball night. We talked with Coach Laura Sartz, and it's now time to talk players, and then we got an alumni guest coming up after that. But we have, as I alluded to, the Fair sisters. So we have Libby and Emma Fair. Welcome in, ladies.
Thank you.
You have to say it.
Oh, thank you.
This isn't video. We can't see it. No, you're good. So now Libby's new to Siena Heights. You started at Grand Valley. What was your process of you coming back home to Lenawee County?
You know, it was something that I had been thinking about, honestly, since my freshman year. I had a great 3 years at Grand Valley, but something was missing, and I was missing home. So it's awesome being home and having my family be able to come to all the games and playing with my sister again.
Right. That's got to be nice to have that aspect. Get a little home cooking.
Yeah.
It's always nice to have as well. Getting some food, getting some things. So as far as study-wise, what are you going to get your degree in? And did that make it easy for you to be able to come here and transfer your stuff?
Yeah, so I'm majoring in secondary education. I plan to be a social studies teacher. That was going to take me 5 years at Grand Valley and then 5 years here, too. So that did help out a little bit because that fifth year I didn't really know how I was going to afford that up there. But so that did help.
Now, you don't have an extra year of eligibility, right? Or
no, okay. I'm done after this year.
Because you had COVID.
COVID screwed me.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I lost my junior year of high school to that, and then I didn't get anything for college.
Right, well, if you were still here, if you were here on campus, you've got all that extra, and that's hurt a lot of high school kids, too, because you get people with that extra year, and, you know, where you're going to recruit to, and how many people are still going to be around, and so, yeah that did make it tough. So what's the biggest difference that you're seeing from the GLIAC to coming in here playing whack ball?
I think the pitching is a little different. But other than that, honestly, we hit the ball here a lot more than we did in the GLIAC. So a lot more higher scoring games. But yeah, it's the same game, all heart. So yeah.
If I trying to the GLIAC, there's more limited amount of teams because the UP. He doesn't have teams, right?
Yeah. We actually played every team home and every team away.
Right, because you have, I think, is it Wisconsin Parkside, mm-hmm. Indiana Northwest, Purdue Northwest? Is
yes.
That what,
yeah, and then I forget the team. Another team just joined.
Yeah,
but,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, Roosevelt.
Yes, Roosevelt.
The old Robert Morris Roosevelt.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
So you played everybody double round then?
Yes. Yeah, which was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is kind of neat to do a little home and away type of thing. So you're always going somewhere like that. That has got to be a neat thing. You should do that, Coach.
We got too many teams here.
We're trying to get games in anyway, as it is.
Yeah.
But so, Emma, for you, nice having her back.
Yeah, it's nice. I always say, like, she's my biggest fan, but she's also probably my harshest critic. So having her around definitely keeps me in check. Sometimes feels like my dad's there, but it's good. It's good for me.
That's funny. Yeah.
A little someone to take the anger out on.
Yeah.
It's nice, you know, and siblings fighting in the dugout and stuff, probably, you know, you having your moments and Coach Laura separating. You know, I got two granddaughters that are close in that age. I can see that coming in a few years.
So when you came from Grand Valley and you've obviously had some experience, how was it you fitting in to the whole leadership aspect of Saint softball? Was it difficult for you? And what role did you try to take on?
It took a minute because I didn't want to overstep any boundaries because I was new to the team. But the other seniors and upperclassmen were very welcoming. I'd say winter time is when I felt like I kind of found my voice and took on more of that leadership role.
So make it easier now because, I mean, obviously coming in as a senior and having the experience you have, and you're not coming in and not being a player either. Does that help that some of the girls are like, oh, she can play this game. I can listen a little more. I mean, just to them comfortable enough with you, too, that you're not just somebody blowing smoke.
Yeah, no, I've definitely always been one to lead more by example and through my actions, so that does help a lot.
Yeah. So the little sister again. You didn't have to put up with that last year, right?
Yeah.
But now you're...
Yeah, honestly, I missed it. Like, every game day I was calling her after the games and going through it and just looking for that big sister advice. So having her in the dugout was even better. So I love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How'd your team, I mean, you got, you know, it's kind of a strange dynamic looking at the WAC standings and everything. But that's, how's the attitude of the team and how's the confidence? Seems like you guys are getting better.
Yeah, I think this team's pretty gritty. Like, we lost a lot of games in Florida by one run.
Yeah.
And even in the conference, like, some games we have one bad inning. And I think we're just so close to coming full circle. And once we do that, I think we all believe in it. It'll click.
Working on the little things, taking care of the things that really matter that don't always seem like they do. Right. And I think we're finally starting to click with that.
Well, and that is tough, you know, being, you know, having that grit. And, you know, like, even I did the boys – you know, the guys yesterday losing that first game 12-4, but came back and had a really good win. And that was, you know, kind of talking a little bit afterwards about, you know, the heart of, hey, we were down, but we weren't out. You know, is that kind of how you guys are feeling as well?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, we know, we all feel that we are better than what our record shows. And so we've just been focusing on taking care of those little things because that's, we've been beating ourselves in those close games. So,
well, I mean, you know, we even talked a little bit beforehand, you know, I mean, playing you know, Dearborn, playing against one of your old teammates and Kendall Phillip, but you know, coach saying, yeah, we last that other game we just didn't show up defensively.
No.
You know, and you just can't have games like that. So how do you work through that when you come back after that game? I mean, to put it, is it easy to put it behind you?
I think just having that learning from everything and
I know for me, I lean on my teammates pretty heavily. I know every girl on that team has my back and I have their back, so that definitely helps moving forward from those tough games. Like, I might make an error, but I know my teammates got the next one and they have my back, so that's definitely helping us move beyond that.
And Libby, for you, did you play more in the field last year? Are you DHing more this year? How's that dynamic, and is it easier or harder to try to figure that out where you're playing and hitting, or I'm just going to DH?
I mean, compared to what I was doing last year, I'm doing a similar thing. I was splitting games at the beginning of the season, and then by the end I was catching every game. So I love DHing. That's fun. It's fun to do. Give the legs a little bit of a break. But, I mean, we have another amazing catcher who's very talented as well. So we work well together.
That's good. Do you have... you know, between the two, do either of the pitchers have a favorite, you know, like, you know, Scooble always wants to throw to Rogers. Is there, you know, between Cheyenne, does she want to have you?
Yeah, so Cheyenne and Emma have a great connection, and I think they even played travel ball before college. So that's, you can't beat that. That's
right.
A good connection, catcher and pitcher duo. That's a great thing. So I did connect more with Cassie coming in. She's a freshman who I catch for, and she reminds me a lot of my old pitcher that I clicked with last year, so I like that.
Coach, I know you can grab a mic here. What do you think about this team? I mean, how is it, you know, you've had, obviously, you and Becky have been around a long time at Siena Saints softball. What were your expectations, and talk about the team's attitude and, you know, just the general journey.
Yeah, we're excited moving forward. You know, if we take care of ourselves, we're fine. And that's what, you know, we've kind of alluded to, is if we take care of ourselves defensively, we've got a chance in every game we're going to play. Offensively, you know, we're swinging the bat very, very well. Our lineup, it's been consistent. Like, this is probably the least tinkering of the lineup we've done start to now that we've ever had. You know, it's been, I think our one through five have been the same every single game all season. 6 and 7 have kind of flipped a little bit here and there based on lineup, but we kind of got maybe half of the week in and 1 through 5 got solidified. We had somebody hitting 9 that we moved up to number 2 about midway through spring break, and that's just solidified things at the top of the lineup and allowed some strength at the bottom of the lineup as well. You know, we've had some good production at the bottom of our lineup, and you know, we've had, like, Libby didn't get off to the best start, but look at where she's at right now. Same thing with Ellie, our 3 and 4 hitters. Didn't get off to the hottest of starts. They were productive, but not productive that they're being right now, and that's been huge for us. And our pitching, I think, you know, both of our starting pitchers are sub 2.5 ERAs, and you keep doing that, you're going to win some ball games. So, you know, like I said, we've got the entire crux of everything in front of us, and it's about let's see where we're at. You know, let's see where we're at and what we can do, and take it day by day. It's all we can do.
How's been the attitude of the team off the field? You know, when you went down to Florida, did it come together?
Florida started out very interesting. We kind of got down there and, you know, found a house that wasn't suitable. You know, at 1:30 in the morning, we're driving around finding a hotel. So it started out a little slow. You know, we started out the week 0-4 with, yeah, you know, no sleep really for day one, and that kind of follows you into day two, and then we had a day off, and you know, the rest of the week we were 6-2 the rest of the week, and even with that, four of our losses total, you know, 2-1 each of the first 2 days were both one run losses, and then the two losses later in the week were one run losses. So we're right there. I mean, I think I was looking yesterday, and 8 of our 11 losses are 1, 2, or 3 runs, and you know, you go 4-4 in those games, which we could have been 6-2 in those games. Right. But if you even go 4-4, we're at 20-7 right now, which is awesome. So we have the ability, we have the talent. We just got to keep all phases together, and when we do that, we're going to be very, very good.
Emma, back with you. So what are you studying, and you know, how did you end up here, especially with, you know, with Libby going to Grand Valley? Did you have some thoughts of maybe going to play with her originally?
So I'm studying nursing, and that was actually my two schools I was deciding between, was Siena and Grand Valley. And I thought about Grand Valley a lot, but it ultimately came down to just the small school feel. It reminded me of Clinton a decent amount, which is comforting. The nursing program also attracted me a lot. I know Coach on my visit said, like, we're a student before an athlete, and with being a nursing major, that's huge for me. So I like the fact I could play softball and do nursing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's a lot. When you get to clinicals and all that stuff, the later you go, there's a lot more time away.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we talked to a lot of the girls that come in here that, you know, what they have to do compared to just a normal college student is crazy. Mm-hmm. You know, then with practice and everything else, too, it really is interesting. You know, one of the things, looking at when I read box scores and that too, you know, with you two being from Clinton, one of the other better players that's having a good year is Lee Clinton. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's funny, you know, looking at scores on Clinton, and it's like, holy cow, there's another Clinton dynamic in there. So how have you guys clicked? Kind of, did she take you into kind of her group of friends, Libby, or did you kind of gravitate and kind of find your own too?
Yeah, she definitely took me under her wing. It's looked a little different for me living off campus, so I'm not around as much, only really for softball. So, but all the girls have been extremely welcoming, and honestly, we all get along very, very well.
Mm-hmm. That's good. And Coach, I mean, we remember one of the first times we talked when we guys before he even played, you know, knowing what you had in Libby coming in, that was going to be a nice addition to the team, and you know, she said it went pretty smoothly. Has it gone, that transition, for, you know, you and you, how you have seen it as well?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's not easy to walk into a brand new program, you know, with just 1 year left, and she's done a very, very good job of not only coming in and working hard and playing hard and competing, but also in that, you know, showing that leadership. And she hit it on the head. You know, she didn't want to step on toes early. And as we got into January and February, that's why where we started to kind of see that leadership role come out in Libby. And she's been a saving grace really for us in a lot of ways. You know, we lost a player late in February that we weren't anticipating not being with us, and had some things that caused her to miss this year. So that was a you know, not an easy thing to take to take within our team. And
right.
And here we go, you know, and here's Libby, who stepped into that three hole in the lineup and has done nothing but good things there for us.
Yeah, it's nice to have somebody that can walk in and take somebody's spot like that. But, you know, Emma, with you again, as far as, you know, you having, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, being, especially because now you've done it, Laura. But with, you know, it's funny because you're the younger one, but she's coming in as a senior leader more. Yeah, it doesn't fit in there as well. I stole it from another room.
There we go.
There you
it's
go.
Good now.
But, you know, but her coming into your friend group and stuff, and so you're on the younger side, you know, so that dynamic of the older sister, younger, kind of didn't play as much there?
Not so much. I think we've always been best friends and shared best friends. I mean, we're less than 2 years apart, so even when we played in high school together, like, we had the same friends, so it's been fun.
Yeah and it has got to be nice just to be able to have both of you here and have, you know, parents, grandparents, everybody that can come watch games. And
oh yeah, it's awesome. I mean, I think we had like 30 people there on Sunday for senior day.
That was awesome. We got a picture of everyone, and it's
yeah.
cool.
We have a huge family, lots of cousins, and we're on the older side of it. So especially for our younger girl cousins, it's so cool for them. Mm-hmm. I mean, they would catch maybe one or two games of mine when I was up in Grand Rapids, but they're able to come almost every home game. So I love that.
Well, and with both of you playing for so long.
My parents love that.
Too. Yeah, and it's able to come and be able to be there for you and watch it. You know, I know your grandpa especially was at everything he could at Clinton as well. So it's nice to be able to come over here and do that. So, well, again, we appreciate your time and, you know, good luck. And hopefully you're going to be playing, a lot the next 2 weeks, hopefully a little bit further too.
Yes, for sure.
Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. Once again, that's Emma and Liberty Fair from Siena Heights University. We're going to take a time out as we've got our alumni guest in with us. We'll be back and see if she can get some runs across. I always love when I'm doing games between her and Hottie going back and forth. If you're not getting any, I'm switching. We're going. I watch Defiance. They kind of work back and forth, so it's always fun to see that. So we'll be back with more right after this. 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.
The top online bachelor's degree program in Michigan is now offering a completely online MBA degree. The Siena Heights University MBA will help students hone skills and better develop their talents as ethical business innovators. Business graduates, as well as students from many other majors, including nursing and engineering, are good candidates for the Siena Heights MBA. And no prerequisite entry courses are required. Classes are enrolling now. To find out more, visit start.sienaheights.edu/MBA. Learn what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Want to stay home and finish your degree? One of the top online programs in the nation is right in your backyard. Siena Heights University offers affordable online undergraduate and graduate degree programs, as well as on-ground classes on our Adrian campus for those who want to commute. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Find out more at sienaheights.edu. At Siena Heights University, we make transferring easy and ensure you're on your best path forward. Study online with our nationally ranked program, or commute from home and get the traditional college experience by taking courses on our Adrian campus. Financial aid may be available, and ask us about our Siena Tuition Advantage Price Certainty Plan. Stay home, save money, and finish your degree with Siena Heights University. Visit sienaheights.edu and find out what the Siena Effect can do for you.
Looking for a place to host your next party, meeting, reunion, or reception? Let Siena Heights University be your local event destination. Siena Heights has facilities for almost every occasion and budget. Air-conditioned Benincasa Hall has seating for up to 250 people and is perfect for wedding receptions, anniversaries, and reunions. Need a special space for a birthday party? Dominican Hall provides large party rooms and a 125-seat auditorium for viewing videos and hosting a wide variety of entertainment. Have a smaller event? Siena Heights offers a variety of affordable, customized spaces on campus to fit your needs. Be sure to reserve your space now because all facilities are subject to availability. Siena Heights has also partnered with nationally recognized Chartwells to provide a delicious and wide-ranging menu of catering services, giving you a one-stop solution for your special occasion. To reserve your space or to learn more information about all the facility options at Siena Heights University, contact events at siennaheights.edu or visit siennaheights.edu/events. Siena Heights University, where Lenawee County meets.
And welcome back inside the Cave Studios, downtown Adrian. Jeff Bowman, Fred Smith, again, head coach Laura Klutsardis, and said that wrong, Sardis. I put the T in the I in the wrong spot.
I've heard it any way you can imagine.
Yeah, you
Jeff.
Probably.
And then some.
Yes.
Never bothers me.
But we've got our alumni guest, didn't have to go far. We don't have to call in. As we've got your assistant coach, Becky Martinez, with us. Becky, good to have you inside Cave with us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
So, again, it is funny. I always, you know, joked at the end of the thing, but I always laugh at you guys taking turns coaching if there's...
Gotta get runs somewhere.
Gotta get runs. Anyway. There's nothing going on. But, you know, but I've coached a long time, too, and I know that whole... that's that game in the dugout. All right, you're not getting any... Get in here and sit down because I'm going to go out there and get some runs. And right. It does make it kind of fun, though.
Yep.
Definitely.
Sometimes I like to be in coach's ear on the third baseline, too.
Yep, there's always that side of it.
That does help, too, yeah. I'd rather stay in and give her some hard time. But looking back, how many years you've been around this program?
This is my 20th year coaching with Coach.
Right.
I played from, I graduated in 96. I played 3 years here. So.
Okay.
Yeah. We're sitting with probably one of the greatest players we've ever had right here. I mean, she was a great, great player,
yeah.
Hall of Famer. And
oh, yeah.
Been coached all over Southeast Michigan. So it's a strong coaching staff, and we're really lucky at Siena to have these women leading our program. I can tell you that.
It's got to be nice when you're sitting at a dugout and see the names on the wall.
Yeah.
And then you've got – your coaches with names on the wall.
Absolutely.
Hall of Famers out there.
Yeah, I mean, I've said it anytime we've talked about it. I'm one of the luckiest people around to have the coaches I have with me and have had them for a very, very long time. You know, obviously Becky's been with me forever, and Hottie has been with me since she finished playing. So
right.
It's great people, and couldn't be more happy to have them on our staff and make our program better, make me better, and there's never a doubt in my mind about that. Never has been.
Yeah, well, and then you've got, you know, Hottie with her confidence on the mound and what she was able to do and teaching that side of it, and you know, Becky, you playing wherever and teaching that end of it too, and I imagine for you, Coach, it's got to be easy because I know neither of you assistant coaches are yes men. You know, you're gonna say what you feel. You're not just gonna, oh, Laura, okay, you like that, sure, let's do that. I mean, you got your own opinions, and I imagine that, you know, for you, Laura, it makes it easier too to have the knowledge that they have to be able to welcome
100%.
Their knowledge and what their input is.
Yeah, without a doubt. You know, that's what makes our staff so good is that we do disagree a lot, and that's okay because it's we listen to each other and we decide. And sometimes I lean on, okay, this is what you think, so this is what I'm going to go with. And other times I get stubborn and do my own thing, and that's okay too, you know. And but I know I have, you know, with Becky and with Hottie, I have two people that have my back at every moment, always have. And if, you know, unfortunately, there's been a couple of times I've had to miss some time in the middle of a season. And when that happens, there's never a hesitation in my mind that things are going to continue to be taken care of and run smoothly. I don't have to worry about anybody stabbing me in the back, right, obviously. But more importantly, I know my players are going to be taken care of no differently than if I was there or wasn't there. And that's very much of a comfort in couple of situations where I have had to miss some time.
Or even in the middle of a game.
Yeah, that a couple somewhere. Of times too. So only three times in 20 years.
That's pretty good.
It should have been probably more, but hey, Becky had one of those moments last year. Yep. Becky had it one time last year. She took it for me, but
there you go. You gotta take one for the team once in a while.
She took it so I didn't have to get ejected a second time last year. But
you know, Becky, looking back at your, you know, being local, like the fairs we just talked about, you know, being from Blissfield, what was the biggest reason for you coming and staying at Siena Heights?
It's home, you know, just like Libby and Emma said, you know, it's nice to be home. To be honest, I did, you know, go to Hillsdale. I was a head coach there. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot that comes with a head coach, being a head coach. There's not a lot of job security. You know, the pay for women, unfortunately, isn't that high, you know, and I didn't know if that was something I wanted to do, so I'd give it a shot. And, you know, it didn't work out, and I came back here, and Coach was, you know, welcoming me back 100%, which was nice. And I've just been here ever since, and I want to see the program where I played and we flourished so much as a team when I was here. I want that same thing to happen here.
Now, was it the WAC, or were you in the
regions? I was
regions?
In both. So okay. We were in District 23, and then we switched, I believe, my junior year. Yeah. To the WAC conference. Yep.
What's some of the biggest changes you've seen since your playing days in the WAC? And
oh, God, the bats.
Yeah.
Where do I start? If we had those bats, it would have been awesome. But we also played at Heritage, so maybe it wouldn't have mattered that too much. We didn't have the 200-foot fences.
Right.
But the bats is huge, you know. I don't believe that a lot of runs were scored in the games that we played, by us. Yeah. I like to say, but as a whole, it was a little more low scoring. It's become, and I think it's because of the bats.
Yeah.
You know,
that's a great point because the games then got over so much quicker back then than now, and I didn't even think about bat technology.
Yeah.
You know,
100%.
Yeah, that's huge. You look at records, you know, with home runs from, you know, back in the day compared to
if
now.
If we're playing in our stadium, Tiny Dickerson probably hits 50 home runs.
Right.
I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
I mean, she short-hopped the fence at Heritage, so I mean.
Yeah, so put her on.
Yeah.
270-foot fence.
Right.
She might have hit my house, which is across the street from the softball field.
But that is a big difference, though, that, you know, bats and balls. And even now, you know, with, you know, coming to your games early, getting there, you know, having to basically sticker and look at all the bats even before the game to make sure they're even legal.
Yeah, that's a pain in the butt, but that's...
But that's something nobody ever thought of back in the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know, you showed up and you hit what you had.
Yeah, it's crazy with the bats you have. I mean, you've got 110-pound kids hitting home runs left and right. And
I mean, my daughter had more home runs than I ever did.
Yeah.
And well, you know, Becky, when you were here, if you graduated in 96.
Correct.
And so when you look at how the game from the 80s when Coach Sandifer, you know, we got him going and we really tried to have a viable program, and the number of players that are playing now compared to then.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think our roster was 15.
Yes, and you're right. And I'm talking the game itself has exploded. So yeah. Now that we have 13 teams in the WAC as opposed to six the first few years, and though when we played District 23, we were certainly competing with the GLIACs and mm-hmm. the Saginaws and all that. But you have to be so proud of the explosion of women's sports and women's softball during your tenure.
Yeah, it's insane, the exposure. You know, it all starts with UCLA, then you have your Oklahoma,
right.
You know.
Yeah.
Then you had your Michigan snuck in between those two,
right.
Which was nice. And they got us on the map in the, you know, east of the Mississippi. So that was huge for our side of the country. Having Michigan in that world. I don't think people think about that, but that was huge.
It was.
You know.
Well, and just
then your Floridas, then your Florida States, and then your Tennessees, they all came after that.
And even seeing the strength of some of our local high school programs. Clinton's that come season, even, you know, Adrian there for a while. And, you know, that's, I think, lent to this growth of this game.
Yeah, I coached 18U travel ball for 10 years in between, you know, when I got out of college and my daughter started playing. And the growth then was in that 10 years was insane. I coached, and there was one 18U team I coached. And when I left, I think there was three in that organization. So,
yeah, it's different. I mean, you know, I was in that other world selling uniforms and stuff for that and watching just the growth of, you know, but it some of the growth of travel, though, has been to the detriment of some of the high school because. You know, you get that one pitcher that comes in and you have that one for 4 years and you don't have a JV team because you don't have anybody that can pitch. And so, you know, you've got to try to find that fine line of, you know, being able to keep a program going and at the same time having the youth be able to have enough to have sustainable numbers.
Yep. That's a good point.
And there's not a lot of three-sport athletes left.
No,
either.
Right. There isn't.
So they're specializing. So maybe you have that. Pretty decent softball players, like, I'm not going to play. I'm just going to focus on basketball.
Right.
Know, or vice versa.
Has NIL, in your mind, Becky, has that hit Division I softball yet?
Yeah,
a lot?
I believe so. I mean, look at Kennedy.
Yeah.
Her last name from Stanford.
Yep.
You mentioned Stanford earlier. She went to Texas Tech. She got $2 million.
Okay.
To go to Texas Tech.
Right.
Yeah, I was just
that's unheard
wondering.
Of for a female athlete. I mean,
yeah,
all those Oklahoma kids, I think.
Yeah, the NIL is at that top level is it's insane.
I mean, well, even, you know, on the basketball side, I mean, I think that you're going to see girls that, you know, they're going to stay 4 years in college because they can make more money at NIL staying in college than going to the WNBA.
Absolutely.
Or staying a fifth year.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, because the WNBA hasn't grown enough to, you know, it hasn't expanded, so there are many roster spots. You know?
Right. It's interesting, but it'll be interesting to see, you know, how NIL does trickle in there with, you know, especially the way Title IX changed things, and now what is NIL and how is that going to, you know, happen and take effect into, you know, the women's side of the sports as well. But
I mean, it's nice that they can make money.
Yeah. Oh.
I mean, for the little schools like us, you know, I mean, when I went to Division I, you weren't even allowed to have a job.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then after that, when I got there, it changed. You could work 15 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, how are you supposed to, for someone like me, who I'm not going to lie, I didn't come from money.
Right.
And, you know, that's why I chose where I went. So I didn't have to pay anything, you know, so.
Yeah. And that does take a lot into, you know, consideration where, you know, I mean, you know, you look back at Fab Five, you know, those guys were making some money, but
I think we had a kid on our team who said, I made $200 on NIL doing a podcast of some sort or something.
See, and that's awesome that they can even do that. You know, I mean, what was it? It wasn't even, 10 years ago, and the guy that was, you know, he was an Olympic skier, you know, wanted to be a kicker in football, and he couldn't. He had to choose one or the other, and it's like they don't even, you know, same thing. So there is the good and bad with some of that. You know, I think some of it, you know, when you're getting poaching some of the smaller schools to grow the bigger and they don't have to recruit high school anymore. They can just recruit guys they're playing against and get 22-year-old seniors to come and fill the roster up. But
you know, and I know we've got to go.
We got about 30 seconds.
It's, you know, when last year Tennessee made $169 million in football. So you wonder why the kid thought he could get a little bit more money. It's all about money, and we better just live with it.
That's right. Well, again, ladies, we appreciate your time in here, as always, and I'll see you the 21st, I think it is.
All right. We'll see you then.
We got one more, the Aquinas, but I won't be there for that one.
We're going to keep rolling.
Yep.
Keep it going.
Keep playing.
Yep.
All right. Thank you much. Good luck. We'll be seeing you out there. And up next is the AC All Access show coming up here on 96.5 The Cave, 96.5thecave.com.